I was hesitant to watch the body cam footage from the police, the Nashville Metropolitan Police Department, but I'm glad I did. If you haven't seen it, I strongly recommend go to my Substack, thekingdude.substack.com. It's at the top of the page. No muss, no fuss, no clickbait. It's right there at the top of the page. Click that image and watch that video. They removed the part of the video where they stepped over the body of the 9-year-old heroine. I mean, that Monday was filled with heroes. Heroes and a heroine. That little girl went out to go pull the fire alarm lever down, which is why it was on when the cops got there. And that's when the possessed, deranged, demonically inspired lunatic, mental patient, drew down on her and shot and killed her. Maggie had tweeted this out yesterday, a picture of that beautiful little girl. Evelyn, is it Deekhouse or Dickus? I'm not sure. D-E-D-I-E-C-K. So Deekus probably, or Deekhouse. In any event, a beautiful little girl. And she was mowed down for her little act of heroism. So it's it goes along with the body cam footage from the Nashville Police Department. There's so much I could talk about here. I wrote it on the Substack yesterday about how I love these men.
It's Deekhouse.
And I don't mean love in the way some of you may be thinking love. I just love their heroism, their courage. Their valor. This is valor that was on display. Watch the body cam footage. Don't take my word for it. I want everyone to go and watch it because I want you to see we're not completely lost as a society. Not yet. As long as we got guys like that, like Officer... I even said before the program, like, I need to commit to memory the names, so I have them. Rex Engelbert and Michael... Kalara. Then it's in all of the stories that you will see about them. Michael Colazzo. I'm not sure. There's no T there. So, but in Italian, you could say Colazzo. They may Colazzo or Colazzo. So Rex Engelbert, Michael Colazzo. But don't just focus on the two shooters because they weren't alone. You watch this video, there. I was trying to count, but it's kind of difficult because they go back and forth between different cameras, right? So there's at least five other officers. So there's at least seven, possibly eight. One of the officers that went in the door to the room-to-room search for Audrey Elizabeth Hale, the mass murderer, was in plain clothes. As a matter of fact, he had a blue, maybe that's the color of the Nashville Police Department, maybe it was a detective or something, but he had a blue polo shirt on. So you watch the video, what's the first thing about, number one, I was expecting to hear all manner of F-bombs, there aren't. So what do you hear? You hear them going room to room in a very methodical fashion as if, I'm watching this going like, my goodness, they were trained to do this. This is a paramilitary operation here. Because the guy that takes the lead is obviously, it must have been an officer of some sort. Well, it's the veteran. It's Engelbert. So he's the one that's taking the lead because the body cam is on him. And you can see when they first go in the building, when they get to the first door, so they come into the narthex where she had blown the doors out, and then they go into the first hallway, and they take up flanking positions, just like you see in the movies, like the special ops guys do, and then there's a guy that's getting ready to go through the door, and Engelbert stops and he says, no, rifle first. And so then the guy with the rifle comes up and then goes through the door. He's the first one through the door. And they do just like they do in the movies. They do left, right, they go in left, right, clear. And then they come back out, left, right, clear, and they go door to door. And these men don't stop. There's no ducking. There's no there's no hiding or what have you here. They're at a fast, urgent pace. I mean, they're not. I'll get to when they run. So they're going at this urgent pace, door to door, room to room, clear, 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 clear. Rifle first, rifle first, rifle first. And then they're almost like kind of break into two groups so they can cover left side of the hall, right side of the hall, right? And so they cover the whole, they're almost at the end of the first floor, and then they hear gunshots. You can hear gunshots come from the second floor. That is when the officers then go, second floor, second floor, second floor, and they run. They don't walk. They're not a bunch of little chicken poops. They run. They run up those two flights of stairs. You can hear the footsteps of all seven or eight of them. And then again, rifle first, rifle first. And then they're going down the hallway, and they're going right, left, clear. Right, left, clear. And then you get to, I can tell you the point in the tape. It's 1 minute and 31 seconds in. In the video I posted on my Substack, thekingdude.substack.com, of heroes and cowardice. And then at 1 minute and 31 seconds, pop, 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 you hear four distant gun blasts. This is when then the officers are they're proceeding quickly with a sense of urgency. This is when they run. And like real heroes and real heroes, they run toward the sound of lethal gunfire. What kind of a man does that? What kind of a man does that? Someone that has the courage of his convictions. It's a Christian thing to do too, by the way, to sacrifice or offer up one's life for another. It's almost as if they knew there were children involved here, and that if there's an active shooter, then they're going to be shooting precious, young, innocent, tender, beautiful, little souls, little children. And so the men run to the gunshots. And then they get to a opening there where the building at this point opens up. It's almost like it's a little, almost like a traffic circle, but not a traffic circle for cars, but for people. Because there's a corridor left and a corridor left, corridor straight ahead, corridor right. And about that, when they're getting ready to disperse to go in which direction the shots came from, then you hear pow, pow, pow. These shots are loud. Next room, and then the men, and then you'll hear Engelbert, Officer Engelbert, go right room, right room, right room, and then they run right, and they run. Well, or maybe the camera is on Colazzo, because Engelbert is the first in the room. Officer Engelbert's the first in the room. He has his own assault weapon, okay? And Audrey Elizabeth Hale draws down on him and fires, and she misses. And that's the end of her. Because pop, 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 four rounds, and she's down. But then you hear the officers in another act of heroism trying to spare her life because she has a flak jacket on, going, stop moving, stop moving, stop moving, and she won't stop moving. So he pop, 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 four rounds. It's the most incredible thing I believe that I've ever seen. And because Audrey Elizabeth Hale was still firing rounds, she had ammo. She had a backup gun. You could see the gun tucked into the Kevlar vest or whatever it was that she was wearing, but it had the gun holster right there in the center of her chest. So she still had that weapon there, and she had the rifle, and one of the rifles that she had taken with her was still in her hands. She was going in search of other children in murder. Those cops, those police officers, saved lives. Could be no doubt that lives were saved as a result of the actions. And again, Engelbert and Colazzo are getting the credit because they fired the rounds. But those other five men in my book are just as big as heroes. And they selflessly, courageously, room to room, with no regard for their own lives. They didn't wait for body armor. They didn't wait for helmets. They didn't wait for shields. Whatever they had on when they got to the building is what they went in that building in search of that murderer with. The Nashville Police Department, and I don't know anything about them, so can imagine someone is going to have to go into the chat room and go, you don't even know anything about the Nashville PD. Whatever, dude. Heroes in my book. They're a credit to police departments. If you've lost faith in the blue, I'll give you a little bit of a nudge that they're not all the same. The Nashville Chief of Police is to be commended. Commended for having officers with that kind of metal, M-E-T-T-L-E, on his force. And he's to be commended that their 911 people, even though they did put that little girl on hold, they didn't know that there was an active shooter. She didn't say there was an active shooter. She said she thought something bad or a friend was going to do something bad. Yeah. That's going to be a knock because somebody goes, they had to put her on hold. Okay, dude. It's not a perfect world. But as soon as that call got through, those cops, whoever was nearest that school, those cops got there with no regard to their own lives, went into the trunks of their vehicles, wherever they had to go, put on whatever they had that was at the ready, and grabbed their weapons and ran. They ran into that building. And then they stopped and gathered at the entrance, at the narthex, if you will, in the lobby, and waited for all of them that were there so that they could actually go into their formation. But the chief of police of Nashville, and whoever trains the Nashville PD, is to be commended because those guys went methodically through that building. And you could tell that they had been trained to do so. Or maybe they got it from watching David Boreanaz's SEAL team show. But it looked like a military. It looked like a special op. Now, I mean, the governor ought to be giving medals out to these men. Let us compare the actions of the Nashville Metropolitan Police Department to the actions of the Uvalde, Texas Police Department. It's a disgrace. It's an utter disgrace. Again, back to my Substack, thekingdude.substack.com. Of Heroes and Cowards, how the heroism of the Nashville MPD shows us the criminal cowardice of the Uvalde, Texas PD. I took the liberty of going and getting the video from the Austin Statesman website and that had originally made the call to release it about 2 weeks or 10 days or so after the massacre at the Uvalde, Texas, at that school in Uvalde, Texas. Remember? We were asking the question then, how is it possible that the shooter was in there for almost 80 minutes from the time the call was made? 80 minutes! And the cops were in the building! Well, we know now because of the videotape, and again, the media that got a hold of the videotape from the school, made the decision to release it. Remember, Governor Greg Abbott was going to the big hoop-de-doo ceremony, and he went to the first one and said, these police officers were heroic and did this and that and the other. And then he went to the second one, and what did he say? He said, they lied to me. The Texas DLE lied to me. They did not tell me about this 70-minute delay. They did not tell me that they were congregating in the hallway, checking messages on their smartphones and chatting it up with one another while you could hear gunshots going off down the hall and children being murdered. So, again, on the Substack, thekingdude.substack.com, in that Ubu video that you'll see there, exclusive Uvalde video show school shooting, police in hallway after, I marked the part of the tape where the second round of gunfire can be heard clearly on the tape. Watch what those cowards do. When those shots ring out, they run. Like roaches who are eating crumbs on the floor in a kitchen when the lights are off and when the lights get flicked on. They run. And then after they run to the safety of a near of a hallway where it makes a T so that they're hiding behind. And most of these schools are made with what's called CMU. It's a concrete cement masonry units, CMUs. Or concrete masonry units. You call them cinder blocks or whatever. It's pretty good deflection for gunfire. They hide on either side of the of where the hallway makes a T, right? And there they congregate. And as the story goes, why did they congregate? Why didn't they go storm that hallway? Why didn't they go in and get that guy? Why didn't they go in and save those children? Because they were waiting for armor and shields. And when they ultimately did go in, they did. You can see that part of the video. They do go in with armor and shields. Compare that to what was done Monday in Nashville. There's no comparison. One set of men, courageous heroes who saved lives. The other set of men were criminal cowards who cost lives. Who would you put your life, who would you trust your life to if you had a choice? It's kind of reassuring to know with the nutbags that are running around out there, especially those homosexual and transgendering or transitioning lunatics who are obviously suffering serious mental illnesses. This is a mental disease. You know, Fiorella started a program today and did the entire first segment asking the question, when are we going to start taking mental illness seriously again? Well, we've proclaimed that all mental illnesses now aren't mental illnesses. Unless, of course, you know, you're a Trump voter. Well, then you can be deranged. Or you're a Christian or a practicing Christian of any denomination. Well, that's a mental disorder to these people. When are we going to start taking mental health issues seriously again? You read the story at the Daily Mail about the shooter, Audrey Elizabeth Hale, to find out that she was just a wonderful little girl who was a wonderful lesbian who was wonderfully having flingdings with other girls and other women, and whose Christian parents found out and counseled her that this is a sin, dear. We don't want you to sin. Please don't sin in our house. Please don't commit these sins. And now we're being lectured by left-wing lunatics. You know, there's a pair of trannies out there that are now demanding that all radical Christian schools be shut down, because that's what caused Audrey Elizabeth Hale to go bad. Had they been understanding and embraced her lesbianism and assisted her in mutilating her body and transitioning to be a boy, everyone would still be alive and all would be happy. It'd be a little fairy tale ending and everybody would live happily ever after. If only we would just treat the mental illness as if it's normal and it's the way to go. That's what they're writing about at the Daily Mail. You go click over on this one on the Federalist.com. Did you do the one about the left-wing response? Let's see. I saw it at the Federalist. Well, there's our colleague Griswold. You did print that one out. Nashville tragedy shows why it isn't compassionist. It is not compassionate to fuel mental illness. And then there is another one about the left-wing response to the Nashville shooting and how the unhinged have reacted to it. You know, they put so many stories up on the Federalist. It's already off the front page.
It's the same with the Daily Mail.
It's the same with the Yeah. You don't even get time to read them all. You don't get time to scan them all. I know there's a story there, and it probably has a nice rundown of various lunatics droning on endlessly about the need to coddle the mentally ill. And maybe there is a need to coddle the mentally ill in mental health institutions locked behind closed doors in rooms that have walls that are made out of rubber. Here. By the way, yesterday, the Crusade Channel got thrown into Twitter jail. Why? Because Mrs. O'Connell, who runs the Twitter feed, dared to republish the signs and placards that were going to be part of the upcoming, now this is their words, not mine, Trans Day of Vengeance. They're going to march on the Supreme Court. They're going to march on Mordor. They're talking about dragging people out of offices and beating them. They're talking about killing people. You know, Merrick Garland is asked a question by Senator John Kennedy yesterday. Yeah, he's in a hearing that was called to discuss the shooting. And Senator Kennedy goes, well, Mr. Attorney General, are you going to open an investigation on the targeting of a hate crime here for the targeting of Christians at a school? And Merrick Garland, completely unprepared, well, the FBI is... And Senator Kennedy goes, you did not answer him a question. My question is it looks to me like some of us here on this committee, like a hate crime has been, in your words, or what you would call a hate crime, and like a hate crime has been committed here, and I want to know if there's going to be an investigation. This is a... So here is, there's so much to get to here today. Mike Churchill here on the Crusade Channel, the live talk radio the way it should be here. This is at thedailymail.com. You'll find this. Trans activists slam radical religious schools in response to Nashville mass shooting in which 3 9-year-olds were killed. By the way, if you take 3 9-year-olds, 9, 9, 9, and flip the nines upside down, what do you get? 6, 6, 6. Of course, the first response is going to be, better church play! That's a stupid, the ad hominem argument. You can't probably make that. Just one, take the school superintendent, the chef from the kitchen, and then the secretary, and look at their ages. 60, 62, 61, 6, 6, 6. Now, someone is going to go, miniature play, that's good, that's another awakening. I don't believe in coincidences. I told you that radical lunatic had that Thrasher skateboard magazine sticker on the back of her car. The Thrasher logo, go look at it, is a pentagram with a Baphomet head in the middle of it. Were there demons at play here? You better believe it. And by the way, there wasn't just two weapons that were in that girl's bedroom. The parents said there was one handgun. She assured them that she had gotten rid of it. She had 7 weapons. There were maps of a shopping mall nearby. There was a map of another school. There was a map to a family member's home. It looked as though the little deranged lunatic was going to go to a mall, shoot it up, go to some family members, spread the joy around the family members and shoot them up, then go to the school and take out the 9-year-old that she had targeted specifically because she knew that it was the daughter of the pastor of that Christian school. And you want to argue with me and tell me that there weren't demons at work here? That, no, it's true. Her free will has to cooperate. This is all true. And you can't say that it was, the default position now is asking for a friend. The default position now is the devil made them do it. No. There's every indication here, though, to me, though, yeah, this is a repeat of Mandalay Bay, and it keeps happening. Keeps happening. That other nutcase that shot the parade up in Chicago, that kid was flirting around with Ouija boards and demons. And they're all deranged. They're all rejecting what they have, their sex. The Chicago kid was transitioning. This one is transitioning. So what the hell is going on here? It seems to me as though the demons have figured out all we got to do is get more of these kids to transition. Get the adults that work for us. Read the Screwtape letters if you don't know what I'm talking about. Get the adults that work for us, to kind of push the issue here. Well, I think you're probably a girl. I don't feel like a girl. I feel like a boy. Yeah, but your tendencies are kind of feminine there. Or your tendencies are kind of masculine there. You're not just a tomboy. It looks to me, it is our opinion that you need to transition. Start them down the path to being medically, physically, and mentally mutilated and psychologically mutilated. They're going to turn away from God. They're telling God to go pound sand. Who's going to fill the gap? Who's going to fill the void? Well, you listen to it. See, you could see it with your own eyes. The response received some backlash in which critics accused the activist of skirting the blame away from trans shooter Audrey Hale.
I just want to, real quick, we have a lot of people in the chat room talking about the manifesto. Has it been released yet? Well, as of yesterday afternoon, the Nashville Metro Police Department announced they would not release it. Take with that what you will.
I'll tell you what I take with it. They don't want to stir up homophobia.
All they said was they knew it was a calculated and planned attack. That's it.
It was a calculated and planned attack, exactly. Again, this takes planning. That kind of planning. How does a 28-year-old woman plan and then execute such a heinous act? And by the by, somebody is going to say, well, you're stupid. They're 666. Da, 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 da. If she's got preternatural assistance, the demons know how old those people are. They know exactly how old they are. They've been tempting them their whole lives. No human could possibly have known, blah, blah, blah. Again, preternatural assistance sure can. Here, let me go one better. Sure did. What do the facts say? 666-999. Looks like a hit job to me. And by the way, how many killed? 6. Coincidence? 2 trans activists are demanding the end of the conservative love affair with radical religious schools in a response to the Eli Ehrlich, who recently boasted about providing cross-sex hormones for children. These people are demented. Note how we have been talking about for 6 years now that this dementia, this mental illness, will progress if it's not dealt with. It progresses. The mental illness that causes one to think that a part of a male's functioning digestive system at the end of it is some sort of a sex organ, that is a mental disease. That is mental derangement. That is someone that is sick and sees something that is completely and totally unnatural and wasn't built for the activity that they're lusting for, and yet lusts for it and thinks that there's something, and then seeks to normalize, which is why I always say, and some of you get angry with me, very angry, I'm turning it off, I'm like, I can't take this ticket here. When I say, describe what it is that they do. Don't give them gay. Don't give them little rainbow flags. Don't give them little unicorns, you know, flying through the air with stars and stardust and glitter and what have you. Describe what the act is and how it's done and what it's done to, and then come back and tell me it's okay. Come back and tell me that you would aspire for your child to be either on the giving or the receiving end. This is the only and the proper way to talk about it. There's a...
purchased. Three of those guns were actually used...
Chief of Police, in, Nashville.
Yesterday's murders of the six victims.
Again, I just caught the tail end of it because I saw that he was... Chief John Drake. Again, Chief Drake is to be commended because his men acted heroically, professionally, and they saved lives. Well, you just said it was six. Maybe Elizabeth Hale was going to go in search of another set of six. Maybe there were three locations. I can tell you that. We know that. So maybe there was going to be six at each location. Maybe she didn't shoot the parents' house up because six weren't there yet. How about a Fresca? Eli Ehrlich, who recently boasted about providing sex cross-sex hormones to children, posted a tweet with the screen grabs to a story about false accusations of abuse at the Covenant Presbyterian Church of Nashville in 2013, and that the Covenant school in Nashville is connected to the church. Ehrlich described a school at which 3 9-year-olds and 3 adults were gunned, 62, 61. 3 adults were gunned down by Hale's right-wing institution, claiming without any evidence that the killer had been abused with many others. And she waited an awful long time to exact a revenge. That school only goes up to sixth grade. She's 28. Do the math. It's like 16 years.
And also, if you look at the actual police report, it wasn't someone necessarily at the school. It was just at the time she attended that school.
Yeah, there you go.